Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From the shores of Malibu, where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China, and back to the streets of Las Vegas, where the UFC is happening. We are live. This is It's Time Radio, the show we talk about what you think about, but maybe afraid to voice. Do not worry. We will talk about it for you. This is No Holds Barred Radio, folks. Film, TV, sports, UFC, boxing, politics, sex, drugs, rock and roll. It's No Holds Barred. And this week, I'm here with my co-host and producer, TJ DeSantis. But better yet, we are with the much anticipated, my friend of a long time, a guest I've wanted to have on forever, a man everybody loves to hear talk, everybody loves to see, none other than the greatest heavyweight boxing champion of all time, Iron Mike Tyson.
Hey, Bruce, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing so good, Mike. It's such a pleasure to have you on the show. And before I do anything, I just want to ask you what I always do. How are you? How is your family? How is life? Is it all good and perfect?
I'm doing great.
Wonderful, wonderful. Mike, I had an absolute blast with you on Hot Boxing.
Your show was great.
It was so much fun. And when I announced you, Mike, that went global. That went everywhere. I couldn't believe it.
Just like it deserved to be.
It's because it's 50-50, Mike. Actually, we'll call it 80-20. 80 you, 20 me, okay? It's all good. Listen, you look amazing. Your training is going. And you tell me you're training 2-3 times a day. You're doing 2-3 sessions a day. Can you lay that out for us? What a training day for Mike Tyson is now, whether you're fighting or not.
Well, I get up in the morning. I run 2 miles, and then I'll come back, get on the treadmill. No, get on the bike for an hour, then get on the treadmill for an hour.
Really?
2 hours of cardio?
Plus, he forgot the two miles he did before he got on the 2 hours.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, geez, dude, that's insane. I mean, that's not a fighter just training for like an exhibition. That's a fighter training for a fight.
Hey, I'd rather be hurt and in condition than not hurt and not in condition.
See, this is the attitude of a champion. This is why you were so great and are so great at what you do. And I'm going to put a couple other people in there like Sugar Ray Leonard. You stay in shape 365 days a year. When you're a pro boxer, if you got the call, you'd be ready in 2 weeks to get it done, right?
I don't know if they do that nowadays, but before you get a fight, a two-day notice, a week notice, you got to be ready.
Well, nothing's like the old days, you know, when LaMotta and Sugar Ray Robinson would fight each other twice in, 6 weeks? Or whatever the case would be.
No, twice in a month.
In a month.
In a month. My God.
Unbelievable.
They don't make them like they used to.
I think one of them was like 14 days later.
14 days or fighting every 2 months. And the difference back then, Mike, you know, there's, what is there, like 52 championship belts now of sorts. And there was 9 back then. So the best fought the best, right? All the time.
Constantly.
Unbelievable. Do you think that today's boxers, with all respect to today and what they go through, or maybe even yourself, how different would it have been for you in your heavyweight reign to have fought back in the 40s and the 50s when that was the case? Would it have been a different?
As time goes on, fighters get better. That's what I believe.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is, Mike? Like, I mean, you can look at the stats of the NFL where you have guys that are 300 plus pounds running, you know, sub 5 40 yard dashes. Is it just like evolution, or why do you think that athletes, for whatever reasons, tend to get bigger, stronger, faster?
Hey, guys, what was that? Where you guys at?
Oh, we're here. We're here. We can't see. Hit your video button, Mike. Your video button might have clicked. There you
there
are.
There we go.
I think it's genetic. We're becoming bigger, faster. We're taking better care of ourselves. We know more about nutrition. Our genes are being more purified, and not really purified, but becoming stronger through the mix of genes.
Sure. I think that's evolution, right?
Yeah. Yes.
It's the Darwinian theory and process. Let's put it that way. Mike, you fought Roy Jones recently. And of course that was, you know, part thriller, the whole bit, but you have your Mike Tyson's Legends Only League. Okay.
Yeah.
I was reading up about this and I thought at first it was for boxing, but am I correct in saying that this is going to involve other sports competitions, including football and soccer, tennis? I mean, we're going to bring in legends of other sports to create a competition.
Baseball, basketball, and they have to pretty much figure it out how this is going to be structured, how the infrastructure for the commission is going to be structured. It's going to be different rules than the NFL and how to make it more exciting, more of a running, hitting game.
So when you say, let's say it was going to be a competition in the NFL, I'm trying to envision it. Is it two teams? Is it two individuals with individual competitions that are surrounding what NFL competition would be?
Oh, no. It's two guys that are leaders and they control two teams.
Wow. So they'll actually be playing a game.
Yes.
Wow. Now, you know what I'm envisioning right now? I'm envisioning the longest yard where the bus pulls up and all the old pros get out of the bus. You know, all the old legends get out of the bus to play a game of football. That would be unbelievable.
But when they get back on the bus, they're going to get back on the bus with a bag full of money.
I love that. And part of that too, is that you're really, I know you're very charity friendly, as I am too. And you have a lot of charities that will be involved in the legends. Are there a specific charity that's your favorite or a couple?
Mike Tyson, I Care program is a program that gives out to various charities. There's no, I'm not biased. I'm willing to participate with anybody that has a cause.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Mike, anytime Michael and I could be of any help to you when you're doing this, we would love to help you because I think you're on.
Help. We can use you, my friend. Your voice is magnetic. We can use it.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. No, I'd love this because I love the whole concept. I think it's fascinating as heck. You brought it back to the forefront when you and Roy Jones faced off. Jake Paul was on that card. The young influencer, like a Jake Paul, whatever, you know, whether you like him or.
He's beautiful.
You know what? He brought a lot of young eyeballs to the great sport of boxing. And that's what we need, Mike.
I agree.
Yeah. Now, Jake is going to be facing off in another promotion against the UFC fighter Ben Askren, who's naturally a wrestler, not a striker. How do you see that panning out? I know he's training with Freddie, but.
Well, I'm looking forward to him to do well. Everybody else says he's going to have a tough time, but I hope he does well.
Exactly. You know what I do, Mike, because I don't want to get pigeonholed by saying who's going to win, because I'm always respectful to everybody. I always say, may the best man win. You know, let's have a good fight.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Some guys you like more than just the best man.
Of course.
You see him around more than you see the other guys, so you're closer to him.
Exactly true. Exactly true. You know, when I'm announcing, I'm an equal opportunity announcer, but I can't help it when I get back out of the octagon and I'm inside sometimes rooting for my buddy or whatever. But again, it's made the best man win. Gotta
sometimes that Bruce Buffer poker face extends beyond the green felt battlefield. You know what I'm saying?
No one could be that biased. You got to be objective. No one could be that objective.
Yeah, that's very true.
Hey, all Mike, right. Real quick, Bruce, if you don't mind, I'd like to fire off just a couple questions. Mike, your stand-up one-man show was phenomenal. Yeah. I remember going into that and not really having big expectations, and it was easily one of the best one-man shows I've ever seen.
Thank you very much.
What were your thoughts in doing that? Because, I mean, that's got to be stepping outside your comfort zone in just an insane way.
Chad Palminteri, Bronx Tale, and I watched Chad Palminteri do it. And I was telling my wife, baby, I think I could do this because this is what I do in Europe, but I'm just talking to the crowd. I just do what I do in Europe and just don't talk to the crowd.
I love it. Yeah.
Mike, you did a phenomenal job because I saw you down in Hollywood and I remember going to see you. And I was with one of my very best friends, a huge box fan, huge fan. You know him. His name is Gary Randall. He's met you in the past. But I was floored, Mike. I thought you were phenomenal. That was one of the best two hours. It was unbelievable. And it was so interesting, everything about it. But the way that it was produced and put together with the video, first class. Are you going to still travel and do that show?
Absolutely. Once this pandemic slows down, my wife is going to write a new show or do some new material.
I love it. I'm going to tag off of that because I'm doing something crazy, Bruce. I haven't even told you this. One of my real good friends of like 15 years is getting married this Saturday, and he's asked that I get ordained to actually marry him to his wife, and that's what I'm doing. I'm a fight commentator, Mike. I can talk about, you know, fights all day long and do play-by-play. I've never married people, and I kind of want to get your advice on how
I can do this. It's the same thing. You talk to your friend, John, and it's like, in this corner is John, and Melissa, you're in this corner. This is everlasting love. This is internal love. This is love that never ends, even when you no longer exist. You got to talk shit like that.
Mike's got perfect. It down.
Yeah.
You know, I am.
Hey, one last tag, because obviously you mentioned your wife a couple times here, Mike. Any advice you could give to my buddy Jeff and his soon to be wife Crystal, or all of our listening audience about marriage? Like, how does Mike Tyson approach marriage?
He just lost all his power. Okay.
All right. They say power is the last thing to go, but it's the first thing to go in a marriage, maybe.
Oh, absolutely. You just don't know it's gone until you try to search for it again.
is that where the term happy wife, happy life comes from, Mike?
Yeah. Okay.
Prophetic words from one Mike Tyson.
Well, it's beautiful to see you so happy. I was just reading that Jennifer Lopez and Alex Rodriguez are not going to walk down the aisle of love forever. Meanwhile, Hugh Jackman, the famous actor, and his wife are celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary, which I love.
No, hey, you check it out, right? You know, man, Bruce, some people can't live, especially in entertainment business. These people get the audacity to get married. They can't live with themselves. How do they live with somebody else? with our big ass egos, how are we going to live with somebody else? We can't live with ourselves.
It's so true. You know what they say? You got to love yourself before you can love everybody else. If you can't live with yourself, how the hell are you going to live with anybody else,
listen,
right?
Everybody want to have a genius for a friend, but nobody wants to live with them, huh?
and people are finding that out real quick during this pandemic. My goodness, everyone's totally sick of everybody.
Hey, Mike, I'm a huge fan of your podcast, Hot Boxing. I watch it all the time, and I was watching the other day when you had you had Shane on, you had Sugar on, you had Tommy Hearns on, and I know that De La Hoya is fighting in your next. Is it true that if I have this correct, he's fighting in the next Legends Only event? Is that correct?
He's always welcome. I'm going to talk to my scouts out there and my promoters and let me know about this. But he's always, they're not promoters, but my business associates, and they're going to let me know. That'd be beautiful.
That'd be unreal. Now, on Hot Boxing, Shea Mosley used to be my neighbor over here. He moved recently. But, Leonard and Hearn stood up. Leonard said, I could knock you out today. And I saw them both stand up. Obviously, that fight between the two of them was one of the greatest boxing, you know, matches I ever saw.
Listen.
Any thin possibility this could happen again?
Let them pass the test. They pass the test. They could do the rest.
Do you know how many eyeballs would be on that fight, Mike? Like, was
mine would.
What's that?
Mine would. Just pass the test. Yeah. We'll get the rest.
I like it. Okay, so what you're saying is, in the great words of Jim Carrey, so there is a chance.
Absolutely.
All right. I love it. It's perfect. You know, you're a big UFC fan, Mike. I've seen you at the show
many times.
I know you appreciate what they do. I know you get asked this question all the time, but for our audience, can I ask you one time? When you look back in your prime, past prime, whatever, just you as an individual, would you have wanted to ever compete in the octagon? Let's say you're 21 coming out of the gate.
Absolutely. But if I did that, what I know now about the octagon, I would have to be in partners. I would have to run my own business in the octagon. The fighters, it's hard for them to get a good financial rate because they just don't make much money, even though they're great fighters and champions.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been a number of millionaires, and you got, of course, Conor banking big bucks, and anybody on one of the big shows, they're making their millions. But I understand what you're saying on the financials. But if you put the financials aside, would that have interest you to train and do all the extra training would need to be a mixed martial artist?
That is amazing stuff. I do love this stuff.
There's supermen and superwomen. When you think about it, Mike, they got an answer for everything.
I was actually reading a new book by Ken Shamrock. It's written by Jonathan Snowden. Really, really good stuff. But in that book, it says around 1997 or so, maybe early 98, there was some talk, Mike, about you possibly fighting Ken Shamrock. Is that true? Do you have any memory of this?
Yeah.
Tell me more. Like, why didn't it happen?
I have no idea. I'm always willing if the money's right. Well, it didn't happen.
Sounds like a money situation. Sounds like whoever was going to put it together back then, everybody was shooting for the fences to make everything happen back then. There's one guy you've had on your show that is our current heavyweight champion. Great guy. You know, gentle giant, Francis Ngannou.
Gentle? I mean, oh, outside the octagon.
Gentle. Oh, yes. His personality. You know,
I was gonna say inside the octagon, anything but gentle.
What a better person for that to happen to, huh?
Oh, he's such a great guy, but his story, Mike, you know, his story. It's the best story. That story has got to be made into a movie. You know, it's an incredible story. Absolutely. Mike, Francis is a powerful puncher. We all know that standing in boxing is a lot different than standing against a mixed martial artist. You can't keep that leg too forward. They're going to double leg take you down, whatever. He would have to learn maybe better footwork as a boxer, but I think he's got the core to be a good boxer to fight heavyweight. Do you feel that way?
I think he do for one particular reason. He has the courage and the belief. He doesn't look like I don't need amateur experience. He's a fighter. You get him in there with younger fighters, amateur fighters, then you put him up, then as time go on, you put him in there with more advanced fighters that are elusive, that's accustomed to avoiding punches, because he's gonna run into guys that are very elusive.
Right.
And not want to get hit with big guys.
Right.
He has to be prepared to throw a lot of punches for a lot of rounds.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, MMA fighters naturally don't take a lot of punches the way boxers do in their training every day. So that's a definite adjustment. But you know what? I think for his own benefit, I think now that he's got the belt around him, the world's focus around him as the heavyweight champion, John Jones possibly coming up or is coming up to fight heavyweight.
That would be beautiful.
It'd be beautiful. I think the John Jones-Francis Ngannou fight could be one of the biggest pay-per-views in the history of the UFC, without question.
I agree.
Because no matter how you look at it, the way I look at it is that heavyweight champions drive boxing, drive UFC. Everybody loves the heavyweights, as you know.
No, listen, it never fails. You're right.
Never fails. So tell us about Tyson Ranch. You know, you started this business. It's going well. How's everything going with the ranch?
First class ranch. As we're speaking now, I'm having at least 10 ranches prepared to be built in Canada, one in Palm Springs area.
Wow.
Hot Springs area. Palm Desert, I mean. It's going to be 1,000 acres. And it's also like a well and healthness center as well. People go in there and learn about the medicines that they're using. We're going to have a university there.
Interesting.
It's going to be a resort.
So are you like a resort?
Yes, it will be. Cannabis and alcohol as well.
That's awesome, Mike. That's fantastic. You know, Mike, you're branching into so many different businesses. I'm so proud of you. I mean, it's amazing what you're doing. You got some great people you're working with. You're putting this out there. So is this like a franchise? Are you franchising?
Yes, all over the world.
I was just going to say on the business tip, you know, Mike Tyson came into my life through video games and Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Right.
And I'm going to admit to a crime here, Bruce. I think the statute of limitations have worn off. But in 1991, I asked for Christmas to get a copy of Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Right.
He gave me a generic copy of Punch-Out, which was not Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. The final boss was like Macho Man or Super Popinski or something. I took that copy that I got for Christmas, went to the video game rental place, rented a copy of Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, and returned it with a generic copy of.
Oh,
that's a great one.
That's a good one. I like that.
You got to do what you got to do back in the day. You know, hey,
we'll make another game, though, another Punch-Out, Mike Tyson Punch-Out.
Really?
Yes.
I can already see the gears turning in Buffer's head right now. He's going to want to get Afro Thunder in that game.
Well, you know, I'm working on, you know, Mike, I don't know if you're familiar or not, but Michael and I did our Ready to Rumble boxing game back in 99. And I will say that Mike Tyson's Punch Out was an emphasis on my wanting to create that game. I'm working on Ready for Rumble, our fourth version right now. I love video games, Mike. I love making them. I love being in them. It's such a fun industry to be in. But I want to step back to your Tyson Ranch for a second. I've been approached by Aurora and other companies to do, you know, my own line of marijuana called the It's Time line and from CBDs. I've held off on all that stuff, waiting for the right thing. We are high. That's not a bad thing. But Mike, if ever there's any room in there in the Tyson Ranch, I'd love to talk to you. If you're expanding like that and you're going worldwide,
I'm gonna put my partner Rob Hickman on. He's gonna get in touch with you right away.
I appreciate it. I'd like to talk to you about that because you're doing everything with such quality and such class. I'm so impressed.
But brainer, the no brainer.
No brainer is right. You know, it's keeping up with the times. It's adapting to what works. And we live in an ever daily changing society with COVID and everything else. Mike, you're just like me in my breakfast. I'm telling you, I'm a honey freak.
It's changing, but it's changing unexpectedly.
Yes, but it's just like in a fight, Mike. You got to roll with the punches and you got to adapt to the person coming at you, right?
Sometimes you got to know who you're fighting. You don't even know who we're fighting now.
Well, it's like the Godfather said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Information is everything. It all works. All right, Mike, here's my little thing. I crack up when I see you in movies like The Hangover and everything. You do such a good job when you do movies. Are we going to see you in any more movies? Are you going to have a little cameo, Mike Tyson? Anything going on?
Absolutely. I'm just working on my project here with Tyson Ranch. And I have a program getting ready to come out, a reality show somewhat of. Like it's called Rolling with the Punches. I'm a retired boxer and working in the cannabis business.
So it's about you.
Yeah.
That's great.
And I mean, that's the best story.
What did I just say? Rolling with the Punches. And this is the title of his TV show. I don't want credit, Mike. I know you did it before that. It's okay. All good. Mike. So again, getting back to Legends Only, is there an actual event that's being planned right now? Or are you just in process trying to figure out what's best?
We're working on a process right now with, I believe, Fox Television.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's Fox we will have an association with.
No, that's a great association because years ago, Michael and I did, I had Michael do a thing called the Celebrity Boxing. You remember when we first did that? That hit a 15 share on the ratings. Everybody wanted to watch it. And I still, it's kind of reminds me in a similar way what's going on here. I think that the world is hungry for this. I think you're in just a prime spot at the prime time. You broke through it with your fight with Roy.
Who people get beat up. That's what it wants to see.
Hey, what did Dana White always say? Hockey game in the corner, baseball game and tennis. The fight breaks out in the fourth corner. Everybody goes watches the fight, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
I agree with that, but I will always say if I go to a fight and a hockey game breaks out in the corner, I'm watching the hockey game for a little bit. I'm just saying.
Okay, it goes both ways a little bit, but the fight's going to break out at the hockey game too. So it's
100%. That's very meta, actually, if you think about it.
Yeah, that's why you go to the hockey game to watch the fight.
100%. Exactly. I'm from Minnesota. I don't understand the rules of hockey. Just I wait for the gloves to come off.
Vegas, man. Nights.
Nights. So cool. All right, Mike, before we let you go, one other thing came up here, too, is that Anderson Silva is going to box Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.
That's going to be brilliant.
Why not Roy Jones, though? I mean, RJJ versus Anderson Silva has been the one that's been bandied about for over a decade. Interesting to me.
I heard a rumor that Roy Jones may be fighting Shannon Briggs. I heard this.
Oh, really? Shannon Briggs spent time at American Top Team back in the day.
Yeah, I know. I announced one of his fights at an MMA event. Mike, have you heard about Roy and potentially Shannon?
No, but I know Shannon's out there.
Oh, you know, Shannon wants to get in there. He wants to get in the squared ring for sure. He wants to get to work. He's a character and a half, that's for sure. But I'm going to look forward to this Anderson Silva Chavez Jr. fight. I was lucky enough to announce some of Chavez Jr.'s first boxing matches when he was boxing 6-round fights when I did undercards with Michael, and impressed with him. And what's his dad? His dad is going to fight. What are they talking about? His dad, Julio Savage Sr., was going to box somebody.
Really?
Yeah, I was in the.
Into him in the airport not long ago. He looks amazing.
Oh, I bet he does. Did you hear about that? His dad has a boxing match coming up, Mike.
I didn't see that one.
No, I didn't see that. These names are being tossed all over. All I'm thinking about, all I'm listening to, though, is
look what you did, Mike. You come back and you fight RJJ. You change the whole boxing business.
You change it.
That's good.
You changed it, but with Snoop Dogg and all the effects and the production they had that night, I was around a bunch of young people that were there from my family that were watching. When I say a bunch, we're like 10 of us. They ate it up. Had they been watching like a normal HBO night, they would have enjoyed it, but they ate that whole with the music. And
how can you not?
It was great. It was great.
And Ruth is entertainment.
Yes. Exactly. It's like the gladiator said, are you entertained? And that's the name of the game, right?
And that's a big thing. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but like fighting and combat sports have always been one part sport and, you know, one and a half to two parts, spectacle. And when you're out there putting on a show and you're honest about what it is, I don't know how anybody can have a problem with it. It's a show. Enjoy it. Sit back. Enjoy the show.
I agree.
The beautiful show was a show in which sometimes people lose their life.
That's true.
Yep.
And you always got to respect that. I mean, every single time a fighter goes out there and competes, whether it's an exhibition or a full-on fight, that's always a possibility.
Mike, I always say this. You walk out there, you're putting your blood, sweat, and tears and your life on the line for our entertainment. It's as simple as that. Bottom line. Mike, one last thing, too. I heard that you know these NFT, these digital collectibles, right?
Yeah.
Now I'm getting approached by this from different companies. I agreed to have one made non-exclusively with a company called Eternity. But you have an NFT company, too, don't you?
Yes. And you know, as many times that car gets sold, you get every sale, from you get a percentage of every sale.
Wow, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's like it's almost like multi-level marketing. Every time that thing gets sold, you're getting a piece of it all the way down. I still am only 50% knowledgeable about this. People are throwing money at me and stuff, but it's like it's the one business I can honestly say I'm not 100% clear on yet, because it involves crypto, which I'm still not 100%.
I'm not either, but it's working.
Mike, there's so much money in it. It's unbelievable.
It's working. I don't trust it either, but it's working. I don't believe in this shit, but it's working.
Well, Mike, I'll take two calls from your people. Tyson Ranch and NFT, buddy. Anytime I can be involved with you, it would be an honor and a pleasure. That's all I can say. I'm serious, too. I live down the street from where you are, buddy. I can be there for lunch and meetings in 10 minutes. All right, Mike, I don't want to interrupt you. You're looking like you're having a wonderful breakfast. You get training. Now, when do you go back? You said your cardio. What's your next session today? What are you going to do next?
Right now, I'm going to do some weights. I got to do some weights. I already declared I got weights.
And then do you have a third session at the end of the day?
Maybe not today. Maybe I might get on the bike tonight.
Gotcha. God bless you, Mike. God bless you, man. You got a lot going on. It's a pleasure to watch you as you're growing and evolutionizing beyond everything you've created historically so far in your life. It's really awesome, Mike. It's really awesome.
Bruce, I love you, man.
I love you too, Mike. God bless you. God bless your family. I will see you soon. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, friend.
Thanks.
Love you, brother. Love.
Brotherly love. I'll tell Mikey you said hi. Uriah Faber said to say hi. You got it. You got it, Mike. Take care, my friend. Big cheers, champ. Mike Tyson.
Never heard of him.
Mike Tyson.
Who?
What? Look at all the businesses he's involved in, TJ.
Yeah.
I feel
like we talked to an entrepreneur. By the way, he's also, way down the list of accomplishments, one of the greatest boxers we've ever seen. But that's the entrepreneur, Mike Tyson.
That is you know how I am about entrepreneurs. I'm an entrepreneur at heart. I have so much with that.
I think that's what the entire interview was pretty much about. It was about, the evolution of a man who was given an opportunity to become one of the world's best, pugilists. And he spun that in so many different directions. And that's what life is all about, right, Buff? Like, you get this opportunity, you make the most of it, and you try to parlay that, first break into many other breaks.
Yeah, no, you know how I am. I felt like I was talking to another entrepreneur, but I'm just going down the list here. Okay, the legends only. I was not aware until we spoke about it and I researched a little bit. I thought it was just boxing.
No.
Think about that. Football, could you imagine a game of football legends? Basketball.
Anything. The possibilities are endless.
Absolutely endless.
Yeah. You do a pickup like pool game, like billiards.
Anything.
You got the right guys, I'll watch it. Know what I actually want? I want like the best fighters to play a football game.
It could be any way you want. It's entertainment. Right. What Mike said, the key word, entertainment.
Yeah.
Wherever that falls. But I was thinking maybe it's two guys, punt, kick, pass, all that.
It's a football game. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, it reminds me of The Longest Yard. You're sitting there, and the guys are getting off the bus. You're going, what the fuck?
You get the wrong personalities, you might have a pretty heated game. So it's a good thing Mike is there to, kind of restore order if it gets out of control.
Yeah, I'm sure him and a few other people hanging around. But
how about this? We'll take the best boxers that Mike can get, and we'll put them in a Brazilian jiu-jitsu tournament against one another.
I still believe there's going to be an MMA celebrity show at some point in the near future. It's got to happen.
Yeah, I mean, we've already seen it a couple times.
Where?
I mean, Kimbo, kind of. CM Punk, kind of.
Well, that's I'm talking about just an actual where you maybe actors, maybe a few real fighters, you know, the mix up and you just.
Oh, you think real MMA fighters are going to fight actors?
I think there's actors out. What did Dana always said? Actors want to be fighters, fight on be actors. There are some actors out there that train in MMA.
You remember what Mike said about the dangers of the sport? Like, that's not happening.
You know, I'm still a fire at heart. I still would love to get out there.
Buffer, no.
Yeah.
No. We got to keep you whole for all these business opportunities and non. I don't remember what the F is in the T's.
That's okay. As long as I can.
What is it called? What is it? NFT? Like, I don't. Do you remember what
NFT?
Right.
NFT.
What does it stand for?
Non-functioning
typeface.
Non-fungible token.
Fungible, that's what it is. Fungible.
So what it is, a non-fungible, here, I'll read the definition.
Oh, God.
A non-fungible token is a unit of data stored on a digital ledger called a blockchain. That certifies a digital asset to be unique and therefore non-interchangeable.
That's how all crypto works.
Is crypto. That's part of the deal here.
Right, I get that. I still don't know. I mean, I just learned that word. Recently, crypto, because I didn't know what that meant necessarily.
And I just read the definition. I still don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Right. Yeah. All I know is that Bitcoin is number worth like $63,000 right now. They said it's going to hit 100 by the end of the year.
I still hesitate to put that money into it.
I mean, historical data will show that if you lose a bunch of money, just wait. It'll go up.
I know, but the pain while you're sitting there with the loss is not that much fun.
Well, I mean, Buffer, you throw away money on the poker table sometimes. So, you know, just think of it that way.
Well, I win money on the poker table.
I know. I mean, you just got to wait a little bit longer to win.
I know. I'll get around to it. Listen, I'm the guy that sold at 25 when I watched the 25 go down to 12. And then I saw it go to 28. Then I saw it 28. Thought, oh, I made $3 on the coin. Coins that I had. That was only 3 months ago, and it's 65,000.
Yeah, you gotta let that go. You just gotta like jump all in. Wait until it dips below 60 again, and then buy one. I want
stories like that.
I want to bring this up to you. I don't know if you saw the story. I got to read just a little bit of it. Did you see the story that is rocking the sports memorabilia and trading card business today?
No, what?
PSA is no longer offering grades to collectibles.
Oh, yeah. No, originally, one of the stories I was going to talk about is that they were going to suspend card grading services because they were up to a one-year wait.
Yeah, that's what it is, right?
So it's a one-year wait. I don't think they're stopping.
They're stopping, like, new submissions. That's what I mean. Like, it's gonna, like, you can't get anything graded in a timely manner right now.
Well, I'll tell you why I know this. Our buddy Dan Wolken, friend of the show, who was on from Memory Lane a few weeks ago.
Right.
So I went in and I bought a second box of 87 Fleer. Because to be honest with you, as we're talking about the collecting, right. I paid $65,000 for that box.
Could have been a Bitcoin. Now,
well, here's probably should have. Here's what happened. I caught it on the upswing. Mm-hmm. Then boxes started selling for 40. Okay. So now where I thought I was up, I'm down. So I did what you call average down. I bought another box for like, I got a great buy for like 25,000. So now I'm averaged down to around 40 on each box, which will come back in spades in the next couple of years. But my friend Dan, he said, why don't you take the box and I'll continue to keep this upgraded on the show as we promised. Why don't you take the box, have a PSA grade, have all the packs at a PSA grade. If there's a 10, right. 9, whatever, it like is going to be worth exactly what you paid for the box.
Right.
So I said, Dan, I just read it's a year's wait. Dan had a connection.
Uh-oh.
Took another box of 81 tops I'm having graded, took a bunch of other single packs. He said, and the guy said he'll have them back to me in 3 months, and I think I got him right under the wire because you can't do that now.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's good to know a guy.
I know the guy. I usually know the guy that knows the guy, or I know the guy.
And I know you, so I'm set.
Yeah, there you go. It's no problem. So speaking of Tom Brady, spoke about earlier, he started his own non-fungible token company, NFT company. But Tom Brady's rookie card just sold for $2.25 million. One of his rookie cards. That's modern day, too. And we get back to modern day. $2.25 million. Obviously, the run for Tom Brady has got to be huge.
Do you ever wonder, like, how good Sean Shelby might be at football? They're cousins.
You know, Sean Shelby... is actually really packed. He's a muscular guy.
He's a jiu-jitsu player, so of course he is.
He's also a wrestler.
He's also a striker, too.
And a striker, too. So Tom,
I mean, he's kind of an MMA fighter.
Well, the one good thing about that, this is the man that's setting people's careers and setting fights for them in the UFC. He better know what the hell he's talking about. I have a hard time reading movie critics review movies, and they never made one.
Yeah,
so I'm happy to hear about Sean doing all that.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, he might be able to throw a football like 65, 70 yards. We don't know.
Why, you think the genetics is going to take over? He's got it.
He kind of looks like Brady if you look really hard.
No, there's similarity there. Yeah,
They're cousins.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, maybe Shelby can kick people in the head, but he can also kick, 60-yard field goals. We don't know. I want to figure this out now. Next time I see him, I'm just going to walk up to him with a football and be like, throw this, please.
I should play a little catch with him one day when we're all quarantined.
Right, and then you'll record it. You'll record it, and then you'll make it an NFT. We'll all get rich.
Yeah, there you go. Again, I can only offer so much on that.
Right. I'm being silly because the whole thing seems silly, but the money's real. So,
hey, did you hear this story? I love these stories. A baseball player named Freddie Freeman. Okay.
Yeah, he played for the Braves.
So they're playing the Phillies, as I understand this, and they were facing the Philadelphia team at their home park. So Freeman hit a home run. At Truist Park, they call it.
Really? Is that okay? I guess they changed the name.
That's in Philly. I'm sorry, I read this wrong. So they're in Philly. Freeman hit a home run.
No. So they're in Atlanta then. Who cares?
Atlanta Truist Park. It's called Truist Park.
Got it.
So Freeman hits a home run, right?
Uh-huh.
And this young kid, Joshua Scott, who's watching the game with his dad, he misses catching the ball by inches. It falls to the bullpen, right?
Okay.
After several tries, he finally caught the ball that was thrown to him from the ground. They threw it back up to him, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, then he did the unexpected. This is a kid. The kid was given the ball.
He threw it back.
He was trying to catch. No, he didn't throw it back.
Okay.
There was another kid near him wearing a Freddie Freeman jersey. And the young kid gave that kid the baseball. How beautiful is that in this day of crap that all we read about?
Isn't that NFT.
That's a beautiful thing.
I mean, that's special. So, someone make that video thing and I'll pay for that.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then get this. So then the father and the son, his dad and he are taken down to the side of the field where they found themselves face to face with Freeman, being a quality class athlete that he showed himself to be that day. He presented Joshua with an autographed ball by him and Bryce Harper.
This is why I love baseball.
Yeah, this is why I love baseball too. You're exactly right on. Totally.
MMA, I think, pre-pandemic, the athletes that, fight in the UFC are the most accessible athletes in all major professional sports.
Agreed.
Of the mainstream stick and ball sports, though, what baseball players do for their fans, it's phenomenal.
It really is. And that's what baseball is all about. What do they call it? America's pastime?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Little incidents like this is what makes America great, is the best way you can put it. Here's another interesting thing involving history. A black family, beach property in California, in Manhattan Beach, which is right down the street from where I live. Probably some of the most expensive beach real estate there is in California.
I mean, you live on the beach, Bruce. Pretty much anything on the beach is down the street if you're willing to drive far enough.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, basically knuckle throw away. But so this family, the beach property was taken from them back in the Jim Crow era, right?
Oh.
In 1924, when the city took the property back through what they call eminent domain, and they paid a couple of fraction of what they're asking for.
Right.
So the city wanted the land for a park, and the Bruces, actually the couple, they're called the Bruces, right?
Okay.
Charles and Willa Bruce, they left and they died like 5 years later. Okay. So now there's a move afoot to give justice to their descendants. The property is worth perhaps $75 million now. Okay.
Wow.
Right now, there's a chance that they are going to give this property back to the family's descendants. There's a court case right now, and they could be awarded. The couple purchased it for $1,225 in 1912. They built like a cafe and changing rooms, the whole bit. It was the white neighbors resented the fact. Horrible. The white neighbors resented the fact that black beachgoers were going to the beach. And this is what caused all this, you know, right. White supremacist Klan members, no trespassing signs. This took place in California. Okay.
Yeah.
The couple originally was eventually paid $14,125 for the property. They left. It was vacant for several decades, took ownership in 29. It no longer belongs to Manhattan Beach. It's part of Los Angeles County. And now there's a court case. They might get the property.
That's amazing. It's amazing. I hope that works out for them. That's a great story.
I do too. I hope it works out also.
I'm going to take this story and mix it with our last story and ask you if you know what today is. It's April 15th. It's not tax day, by the way. They moved that.
That was the first thing. No, because that's been pushed ahead anyway.
Yeah. It's actually my mom's birthday, but that's not what I'm alluding to.
Well, happy birthday, Mrs. DeSantis.
It's Jackie Robinson Day. So today in the major leagues, everyone that takes the field will wear the number 42 to honor Jackie Robinson.
And rightfully so. One of the greatest baseball players of all time. One of the greatest historical moments in history of all time. What he did for Black America and everything back then. Just amazing. So,
don't worry about that.
Well, obviously, we're talking about a good story and the alarm went off. But I just watched an original with Jackie Robinson, story of his life from like the 1950s, black and white. It was so much fun to watch. And then the movie 42, whatever it was, with Bozeman, the fine actor that passed away last year. Phenomenal movie. I still say to this day, baseball as a sport transfer, and boxing second, baseball as a sport transfers better to film than any other sport I've seen. I watched Major League for the 58th millionth time the other week. To me, it's one of the 10 greatest baseball movies ever made.
Yeah, no, I mean, some of my favorite movies are based in baseball. So
absolutely.
Yeah. And then I love boxing movies.
Boxing movies transfer really well. And MMA, not quite yet, but there's been some great efforts. And Warrior was strong. And I'm going to give it to Here Comes the Boom. You know, even
Here Comes the Boom is my favorite, actually.
Who was the best in Here Comes the Boom?
Bruce Buffer.
No, that was 1 week after I blew my knee. That's one of the reasons why when I severed my ACL at the George St. Pierre Jake Shields fight, you know, at the Toronto at the Rogers Center,
123.
I don't know the exact date, but it was about 2 weeks later. I had to be on set and they're like, you got to get operated on. I go, nope, I got to be on set. I got shows every week. I got 1 week off, but in 3 months, I have a 4 week window. And the same man that did Dr. Elitrosh, the great Dr. Elitrosh, who did Tom Brady's knee and also George St. Pierre's after mine, said, Bruce, I know you. He knew me. We're friends. He goes, I know you. I know how you are. I know how you train. You listen to me.
Right.
You do what I tell you. I will get you back in the octagon within 4 weeks after I operate on you in that window. So I spent 3 months in a brace and, you know, doing everything I had to do. When it got operated on, remember I flew to Philadelphia for the show with Joe Rogan.
Oh, I remember. Together. I remember. Yeah.
And I was a little buffer light, but I got the show done. All good.
As you always do.
Always do. Always got it. And the show must go on. There's no question. Speaking of baseball, a man sues a baseball team or stadium. Now, see how you feel about this. Horrible situation. Okay. His dad died in a taco eating contest. Right.
Okay.
In California.
April 1st was 14 days ago, Bruce.
Oh, this is a while back, right?
No, I'm saying this sounds like an April Fool's Day joke.
No.
A taco eating contest?
Yep. A man tragically died during a taco eating contest in California Central Valley. His son now wants the owner of the organization to pay up. I'm really sorry his dad passed away.
This is like a minor league thing?
Yeah, suing the Fresno Sports and Events, a company that owns the Fresno Grizzlies minor league baseball team.
Yeah, they're the minor league team for Arizona, I believe.
Okay, so they were hosting what he calls an inherently dangerous amateur taco eating competition.
Not so hilarious.
During which his father died. Not so hilarious. So it was involved in, you know, devouring, obviously, as much as you can. And as a result, he began choking on chewed and unchewed taco remnants, which, you know, the shell of a taco, I know that, like, elderly people are told not to eat taco shells or taco chips because they can go down the wrong pipe.
I'm not trying to be humorous here at all. Do we know if it was crunchy or if it was a soft taco? Because I think a soft taco would be more dangerous in a contest like this than a hard taco.
Can't answer. Don't know. I don't know. They're just claiming there wasn't enough safety. They hit him with a CPR defibrillator before the paramedics arrived.
The question is, and I hate to be legal about it, is did the man in question that passed away sign any sort of release you know, anything like that? That's the question.
And that's the question. If he did, he's, you know, I don't know where they're going to go with this. And I'm not telling him. Yeah, I'm not saying don't do it, whatever. I'm not. I mean, the man lost his dad.
No, it's, so there's, it's to do. Right. That's why I want to handle this with care. But yeah. it's very, I mean, it would be hard for me to believe that a sporting franchise or group would allow anybody to do anything that could potentially put their health at risk without signing a release. But stranger things have happened.
Yeah, they have. Stranger things, you know. It's just, I'm sorry for his loss, but it's just, it's a somewhat weirdly interesting story, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, we've talked about collectibles before we sign off on the show. I want to go through. There was just a big auction, Golden Auctions. They just sold $38.2 million in collectibles. Give you a couple here.
Bruce Buffer autograph, microphone.
Bill Russell rookie card, 57 tops, $399,000. Stephen Curry, Stephen Curry, pardon me. Panini, which I think is the new company that's going to be making UFC cards, set an all-time record for a non-rookie Stephen Curry card for $271,000. Kobe Bryant card, $260,000. These are all modern-day cards. It's unbelievable.
It's Jackie
Robinson, amazing. 49 Bowman, speaking of Jackie Robinson, $522,000, all-time record for that card. And 67 Tops Tom Seaver rookie card, which I happen to have one. This sold at a, doesn't say the PSA rating. It's got to be a 10. Sold for $344,000.
If it wasn't a 10, you better find out what yours is.
My Seaver card's a 7. So it's probably it's not worth, you know, it's probably worth 5,000. It's not worth that kind of money. It's amazing. One great difference in PSA when you get that high up can make all the difference. And then Opeachy, the Wayne Gretzky rookie card, sold for $271,000. And, Jesus God, The Rock's rookie card, WWF superstar stickers. They call him The Rock Maivia.
Rocky Maivia, yeah, that was his name.
Okay, that sold for $34,440, an all-time record for that card.
I had that card.
Hello, how does that feel, TJ?
I was a kid and I peeled it off and stuck it on something because that's what you do when you're a child. But all right,
how does that feel? Like, I'm talking about my little situation.
Yeah, I mean, I don't regret it because I was a child, but I'd like $34,000.
Yep, so. Absolutely. By the way, North Korea bailed from the Tokyo Olympics. They're out. COVID fears. Not going in.
I mean, I have a hard time thinking that COVID never made it to North Korea.
I thought it did.
You don't know.
No, we don't know. We don't know anything.
No, you don't know. So, I mean, I don't know. I hope everything's okay over there.
I hope everything's okay everywhere. And, you know, amusement rides, we talked about this before. Like I always told you, I'm not big on Ferris wheels because I hate when it's time to go. You're at the top and you got to wait.
My wife will not go on a Ferris wheel. She's terrified.
Two teens were suspended, right, for hours on a broken amusement park ride in Florida. If you're afraid of heights, man, you know, you know that slingshot ride?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were
suspended, like they were just stuck on the car up there, or like it was turned and they were tilted and they were clinging for dear life.
Well, the slingshot shoots you up and down. So,
right, but you're talking about the Ferris wheel.
No, I mentioned the Ferris wheel first. They were stuck on the slingshot ride.
Oh, upside down?
No, right side up.
That's good.
From what I can see, but it was for hours, three stories high after a cable snapped.
Oh, okay, not so good.
Not so good.
I would be okay with it, minus the fact that if a cable snapped, you're terrified that you might plummet to the earth at any moment. Because those things go high.
I know.
They're higher than we are high, that new strain that's coming out.
Here's another one. Do you eat Cheetos?
No. Honestly, I don't like Cheetos. I don't mind the puffy kind. But I don't really eat them because it's just pointless because it doesn't do anything for me. Yeah. You know, like the puffy kind you eat, they're like rice cakes, right? But they're bad for you. So why would I want one?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I kind of like rice cakes for some reason.
Rice cakes are okay.
Yeah.
But
they're okay.
But rice cakes are healthy for you. Cheetos fill you up just like a rice cake, but somehow they're 8 billion calories.
Well, speaking of filling you up, a 6-year-old boy opened his Cheetos.
This is not a good story to go out on, Bruce.
I'll end with something. There's a bullet inside the Cheetos bag. A bullet.
Okay, it's not that bad. We have to go, though, unfortunately.
Okay, I know we have to go. So that'll be the whatever. Anyway, good show. Mike Tyson, Iron Mike Tyson, TJ DeSantis.
What more can you want?
Yeah. Very, very cool. Very cool. I've got some really cool guests coming up on the show, TJ. We got some good stuff coming up. What's up with you this week? Are you in town, out of town, in outer space? What's happening?
I said I'm marrying two people to one another.
You know, I did marry my best friend, one of my best friends, Joe Lear. I am ordained. Did you go to the Universal Life Church?
Of course I did, Buff.
$39.95 or whatever it is.
I did it when it was free.
Oh, really? I had to pay.
2001, it was free.
Well, you know, I do a ton of weddings on, you know, whether it's through brucebuffer.com. You know what I'm really happy about? The COVID pandemic has slowed down weddings. I noticed people are having their weddings now. We're doing a ton of weddings at brucebuffer.com, and I'm really enjoying it. You have videos, audios, whatever. And
yeah,
as a matter of fact,
I need you to do me a solid and do something for me.
Tell me what you want. It'll be
I'll tell you when we're off the air, but
no, of course, not when it's off the air. But I do enjoy that. People ask me to marry them. I get emails all the time, but you know, it's your marriage. Spend the money on your marriage. Let me do a video or an audio. The cost of flying me out and doing it, unless it happens to be in my area, is just
right.
I would feel bad. No. And I have to charge. I would feel bad.
Of course, so, you have to charge.
You know, it is what it is. But still keep the cameos coming in, the videos and the audios. Man, we are busy as beavers here and loving every single minute of it. Okay, the UFC this weekend. We got Robert Whittaker, Kevin Gastelum in the main event. Good fight. I like it. Jeremy.
It's a fight that was already supposed to happen, and yes. Robert Whittaker weighed in and then had a twisted bowel and was unable to make the fight. So
That's right.
It's a long time coming.
God, I that hurt even hearing you say that. So. Jeremy Stephens, Jakar Close, Andre Arlovsky, amazing the length of his career, and good luck, good for you, Andre. Chase Sherman, that should be actually a fun ball, you know, punches.
Arlovsky versus Sherman?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I like that. They're going to throw down.
Yeah, it's going to be a good fight.
And our friend of the show, Luis Pena's back. He's going to fight Alexander Munoz. Good stuff. Jessica Pena, Lupi Godinez, Gerald Meerschaert, Bartosz Fabinski. That's a good tight show. This will be fun. And I think this show is on ESPN. Check your listings, but I'm pretty sure this is an ESPN show this weekend. So good for that. But I'll tell you, TJ, the show after next weekend, UFC 261 in Jacksonville, Florida, that show is unbelievable. Oh, did I tell you what I'm doing? I'm ending the show. I'm going to be okay. I'm playing poker after dark. It'll be televised. Six men. We're each putting up $10,000. Winner gets 50, second gets 20. I'm playing Phil Hellmuth.
Okay, take that $10,000. Buy Bitcoin.
I'm going into playing poker. I'll take 10 and turn it into 50, and I'll be a happy guy. It'll
but you could take 10 and potentially turn it into like 100.
I'm going to make a phone call. Okay, I'll put a little tickle pickle in the Bitcoin, so I have something to talk about in the future when you bring it up, and I don't feel like I missed out on the boat. Okay, how's that?
Tickle,
whatever
pickle?
It is.
What?
Pickle, tickle, tickle, pickle.
Oh, all right. We got to go.
Oh, not that. I'm talking about it.
Right. Yeah. Okay. No worries. It's good. Good. Check out Extra Rounds live on UFC Fight Pass. Myself, Pro Gonzalez, talking about everything. If you get this before the fights, I have an interview with Robert Whittaker on there this week. We talk about the showdown with Kelvin Gastelum. So tune in.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, everybody. I will see you.
Oh, sorry.
Whoa.
Quick. So now I'm doing the show. Also on Extra Rounds this week, I have a nice, fun conversation with Yanni the Greek, who you can find on the line on UFC Fight Pass. But we were joined by WSOP commentator Norman Chad. So you might actually like that.
My buddy.
Yeah.
Norman, he's been on the show. You know, I have not talked. And Norman plays poker at my house. I have not talked to Norman for a while. He's a great guy. You know,
he's been on the show.
We had Norman on the show years ago.
Damn it. I completely, I have no recollection of this.
Like literally,
we're coming up on 500 episodes. So I'm allowed to forget one.
Literally in the first 2 years, I think, of our podcast when I was playing the World Series of Poker back then.
Wow. He lives somewhere near LAX.
I won't say where. I know where he lives.
Right. That's why I do too, Buff.
Yeah.
But he walks home from the airport sometimes.
Good for Norm.
It might be faster than the car.
He probably just has to walk straight down Sepulveda Boulevard to where I think he lives. I know he lives, excuse me. So good for Norm. Good for Norm is a funny guy. Was he funny?
Hilarious.
He has a dry sense of humor. He's hilarious on the show.
I absolutely enjoyed the conversation we had. I'll remember it this time because apparently I forgot the last one.
It's okay. It's all right. I just can't look. I mean, can't it's wait till like, I can play in a World Series of Poker event again.
It's been like 12, 13 years. I was 24 when we started the show. I'm almost 40.
Getting old there, TJ.
Seriously. And somehow you get younger. I don't get it. We got to go.
Considering next month, May 21st, I'm going to be 64. I'll take that all I can. Boom. Give it to me, baby. Okay. Uh-huh. All right. Uh-huh. By the way, I did a striking workout yesterday. I'm getting back into it. Man, it just makes me want to throw. I had such
a stop it. Yesterday. Stop it. Stop it.
Mike, legends only. Come the announcer. Got it.
You're not going to fight Joe Martinez.
I don't want to hurt Joe. We'll leave that out. Okay.
We're not leaving it out because I don't have time to edit it. It's Thursday already. We got to go.
All right. Got to go. Got to go. Everybody, I'll see you from the Octagon on a Saturday. UFC, ESPN, TJ, you take care. Everybody, pick your goals. Write them down. Research them. Do what you got to do to be the best you can be when you step on that path. It's all about winning. We just had a winner on the show in Mike Tyson. We've got a winner on the show in TJ DeSantis. And I always try to be the best I can be to be the best I can be to win. And I'm Bruce Buffer. And right now, it's Buffer Out time. See ya.